This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. Support for Katie and Kay comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
Well, we should have all kinds of content because we've had 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you got, all kinds of broken stuff since AWS is damaged.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. What is AWS?
Okay.
Because we see it. I mean, you see it on TV, right?
Yep, I've seen it.
They have ads. Yep. And a lot of people are like, what the heck is that? Do I need it? Should I get it? What happens if it breaks? So tell us about it.
All right. So probably 15 years ago. How long? AWS has been around a long time.
Yeah, probably.
So
yeah.
Basically what happened is about 10 or 15 years ago, Amazon was running all their servers and everything to make Amazon.com work. And they decided to start selling all of their servers and databases. And I think they've done, I think last year they had like almost 400 product releases in AWS over the course of a year. So they did more than one a day on average.
Uh-huh.
So they do all kinds of stuff for compute, for storage, for, I'd have to go in and look and see what all they do.
Quite simply, it's like you can buy an apartment. It's like renting an apartment. You can rent some server space on AWS,
yep.
And you can then basically use that space for any number of different things. You can host a database on it. You can actually set up a virtual machine, right? Yeah, you can like a virtual server or a virtual computer. You can install Windows into a partition on it.
That'd be EC. Yep. Well, yep. It's all. You can just say, "I want Windows," and click. It's there.
Okay.
Charge an hourly fee.
Ooh, I think it sounds like I need to get that. That sounds fun. Anyway, so it's basically just like a huge tech timeshare kind of thing.
Exactly. And, so they have
probably
at this point millions of servers, and you can. For a fee, you can carve out a section of those, so you could rent a couple processors, a couple gigs of RAM, a terabyte of memory, and do something with it.
And what would you, I mean, not that I'm going to hold you to this, but what would you guess percentage-wise, like what percentage of web-based services that people access on a daily basis is actually hosted on AWS, even though they don't realize it?
Oh, I'll bet it's
you're going to Google it, aren't
I'm gonna,
you?
I'm gonna perplexity. Yeah,
what do they call it?
I would get my off the cuff guess would be between 30% and 50%.
I was gonna spitball 35, something like that. So a lot of people don't realize that they're using AWS all the time, and so they had a major outage today, and. It affected, if you noticed that Alexa was not playing nice at your house, that would be one of the ways that it would manifest itself. Did it affect any Amazon store services, Matt? Do you know?
All right. So it has about 23% of the top 1 million websites.
Okay.
Which translates to 60.
That's impressive.
So that's 67 million active websites.
Jeez.
Relying on AWS hosting platforms. And about 31% of, global computing market.
Okay. So you know what we forgot to do? We forgot to say, hey, give us a call, 970-963-2976. Give us a call here at GeekSpeak if you are having any computer issues. If you have some exciting new technology that you want to share with the world, and more specifically with Matt and I. Just anything. I'm so excited about yesterday's Broncos game. We could even talk about that. We could weave how like the technology affected the Broncos win, which I don't know if it did or not. But
the NFL partnered with AWS for processing services to calculate all the statistics in real time?
Now that you mention it, yes. Yeah, so whenever you see that little AWS icon with the little the whoosh thing that Amazon has, that's what that's about. So
yeah, so that compute's being sent off there to calculate all the statistics.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if you saw the story about there's a bug in Google. More specifically, a bed bug infestation at a Google office in New York City.
Oh, that is the worst kind of bug.
And what kind of antivirus do you use for that? You know,
they're semi immune to DDT at this point, from what I've heard.
Uh huh.
So yeah, not that we can get DDT anymore, but
yeah, exactly.
But so. they've become immune to that one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Google confirmed that a bed bug infestation at its New York City office after exterminators found credible evidence in their Chelsea campus. So if you are listening and you have business in the Chelsea campus of Google, you might want to give it a week or longer. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that seems to be something that New York City gets a lot, you know.
Well, you get enough people doing, you know, and then.
Yeah, get that many people on top of each other, literally.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds of stories. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got
so,
it.
You got to, and if one, you know, if some dirty people or, you know, somebody brings that kind of thing into the area, mm-hmm. then there's plenty of resources for it to exploit.
Got it. But I don't know, man. I just had this picture that Google's head, you know, like Google's campuses are like these like really pristine, you know, sterile work environments. And so I'm a little bit shattered by this.
I'd say that'd be an interesting study to see how, and not just bed bugs, but I mean, you could look at, you know, COVID back, how it spread through everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, they're going to have a similar, you know, a pest like that's going to have a similar distribution where, you know, one of them gets somewhere and nothing happens, but, you know, two of them get there and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
you know, then you can have a super spreader of bed bugs. And
well, I could totally see how people bringing pets to the workplace could, I mean,
it could be pets too.
That's
yeah.
a vector right there, you know?
Yeah. I'd be curious to see what the vectors for something like bed bugs would be.
What their pets in the office policy is, you know, and what it was yesterday and what it is tomorrow. That's the question. So that's not fun. I'm really glad I don't work for those guys right now at that spot. Have you heard about there's a bug that is, there's a recent Windows 11 update that reportedly disables USB mice and keyboards when a user goes into the recovery environment. How do you like that?
I wonder if I have that bug. Because I'll have to try it when I get home. No, I have a little one of those little like 1 liter computers,
uh-huh.
and it's been kind of being flaky on me. It's been getting more and more flaky last like 10 days. So I think I have it narrowed down to a bad power supply because I plugged it in and that's starting to act nice. But it went into recovery mode automatically on one of the lockups,
uh-huh.
and you know it has a little like restart or continue to recover.
Keyboard and mouse not working?
Yeah, I'm making sure the keyboard and mouse are plugged in because I use a tool called Synergy.
Yep, familiar with that.
So, but it basically means I can plug one mouse and keyboard into one computer and have it attached to multiple computers.
Got it.
So I make sure it's plugged into that computer, and it just sat there and gave me a blank stare like, nope.
Yeah, not happening.
So like I'm like, is the computer locked up?
Yep.
Or is my mouse and keyboard is not initializing my mouse and keyboard? So I think I may have actually experienced that one in the lab.
So I haven't. Let's see. They're not telling this article that I'm reading is not telling us whether they've patched it yet or not. The update is KB5066835 for those of you who are
want to read the knowledge
concerned
case.
About that. So yeah, it's something that all Windows 11 users, especially you know if you're the kind of person who might like be inclined to go into recovery environment, working on your own computer, that would be something that you could have a look at. So KB5066835, and it basically disables your mouse and your USB mouse and keyboard when you're in a recovery environment. Yeah. So,
and then have you read that Microsoft has also taken away most of the popular ways to set up a local account on the latest version of Windows 11?
Well, I have encountered this firsthand, yes. And do I remember what the workaround is? Not at this moment.
Right.
There is a workaround.
I think they took away the
OOBE.
The OOBE, out-of-box experience, yeah. / no or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a couple others that people were using. Mm-hmm. I found somebody online who's done a bash script to circumvent that. But
okay.
Windows 11 or Microsoft has made it difficult to set up Windows 11 without an Microsoft account.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess we should talk a little bit about, you know, I have my own things that I don't like about the Microsoft account thing. The Microsoft, in my opinion, this is why I think Microsoft started doing this with Windows, is because they were jealous of Apple. Because Apple has basically been getting people to sign in, create iCloud accounts or me.com accounts or whatever you want to, you know.
Mobile.me.
Mobile.me. Yeah, exactly. I remember Mobile.me. And they've been doing that for, 20 years now?
Pretty close, yeah.
And, you know, and when they did it, nobody, you know, that was before the big rush to, like, gather personal data or information from people. But, you know, my take on it is, you know, the reason why anything you go to get for free on the internet, quote unquote, requires you to sign up. And that basically, that's their payment. That's that personal information that they're selling off to other people or whatever. That's how they make their money. A lot of these sites do. And so the Microsoft account thing is another way of a way for Microsoft to gather data.
I was going to say
about users.
The other side with the Apple one, for instance, mm-hmm. Is it synchronized? You can have a desktop, a laptop, and a phone, and a tablet, mm-hmm. and everything syncs between each other pretty darn well.
Yes, and I would argue that's a technology that the Windows market or the Windows world is still about six steps behind. You know, as far as you know. Implementing that kind of ubiquitous data coverage, you know. So
Well, the other side is like with my clients, I'm always fighting OneDrive. It's like it's always trying to, you know, the Microsoft account is always trying to stick its grubby little hands into the computer, mm-hmm. and it just feels like it's trying to get its grubby little hands everywhere, as opposed to the other way where it's just like, yes, I want this to happen, and it just magically works.
Well, you know, one way that I would say that Microsoft and Apple are like really. You know, on even playing ground, you know, even evil level playing field on, is that they both do this thing where an update happens overnight and whoa, all of a sudden, all of your data got moved to the cloud. You know, it's, or there's some innocuous little thing that says, hey, we're getting ready to move your data to the cloud. Is this okay? And, you know, most people are just like, I just need to use my computer right now. And they click okay just to get the warning out. And then the next morning, they're like, all their stuff is gone off their desktop, and they freak out about it. And
Or I've had clients that were attached to the same account on separate local accounts. Mm-hmm. They both got the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it basically hodgepodged both of their, you know, both mm-hmm. both their local environments into this one amalgamation online and then redistribute it back and forth between the computers. And it was a mess.
Yeah, no, it gets really messy. And, you know, with like Microsoft OneDrive, I don't know if you heard about, I think maybe we discussed this bug in OneDrive, but if you, on a Windows computer, you switch it to a local account and you log out of OneDrive, I can't remember whether it's the Windows 11 update or there was another Windows update that would go and turn your OneDrive back on. So what would happen is like, you know, I had a dummy account that I would use just to get a computer activated so I could get in and create a local account, you know, when I'm moving a customer into it at the very beginning. And so I would do that, and it would go ahead and latch on to my OneDrive account temporarily. And then I would create this new account and then delete the account that has that's attached to my OneDrive. But what it'll do, this update will go and reattach to the OneDrive account. And so what had happened was techs like myself who use a dummy account like that started to notice this conglomeration of OneDrive stuff from 5, 6, 10, 12, 15 of their customers all in one chunk, all in one place. And, most people don't have anything that they really need to be concerned about, but nobody likes the idea that, you know, all their stuff is all mixed in with everybody else's stuff and anybody can look at it, you know, or anybody has fallen victim to that. So anyway,
yeah. I've kind of switched to using a third party app. Mountain Duck. So to basically mount, you can use it for like AWS S3. You can use it for most of the online storage things. You can, including OneDrive and Apple and iCloud and other things.
Sure.
But basically, it'll mount a virtual disk, and you move stuff in there, and it moves it in and out of the cloud.
Got it.
And it's a third party thing, so it's not
Duck. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check that one out.
Yeah. It's related to CyberDuck.
Because we talked about Nextcloud a little bit, right? Have you used Nextcloud?
I'm actually full on moving to Nextcloud at this point. Okay. Yeah. I have a NAS in my.
And is that an open source product?
Yes.
Or there's no subscription fees or anything like that?
Nope. You just need somewhere to run it.
Okay. Got it.
All right. And so, all right, now I have it running on a NAS in my office, and it's being served out to the internet through a. Cloudflare tunnel.
Okay. All right. Cloudflare being yet another Amazon Web Services, right?
That's they run their own.
Oh, is that Cloudflare's? They're their own.
Yeah, because they have a very extensive fiber network throughout the United States and the world.
Okay, got it.
So I think they're running mostly their own stuff.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Once again, 970-963-2976 if you want to give the geeks a call here. And let's see. We didn't touch on the surprise, surprise. There is a extended service update program for Windows 10. So just in case, and you notice they didn't release this. There wasn't even any rumors about it before the 15th of October, right? And boom. October 16th, the minute Windows 10 became, quote, unsupported.
Uh-huh.
So if you are one of those poor people that are sitting on an old, outdated Windows 10 box, and you have to, like, get up in the morning and crank it up to get it started and, you know, put coal in it to make it run and so forth, you can now enroll in this extended service update program. And, the first year is $30, second year is $60, third year is $90, and that's it. And so basically what they're saying is that Windows 10 really goes out of support in October of 2028. So we're not kidding this time. So,
yes, we're not kidding for real.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so... Yeah, let's see. It only provides security updates, does not include new features, bug fixes, or other enhancements. So this is just basically to keep your computer from being exploited by any number of security hacks that have been floating around or just waiting to be played with and implemented by those evildoers out there. Yes, 970-963-2976. And let's see what else we got, Matt.
Yeah, I was just going to see if there were any exploits for Windows 10 already.
Ah, yeah. Because everybody thought that it would just be an absolute, free-for-all on the 16th.
That's kind of what I...
But, yeah. So... let's see. How do you purchase the ESU? That's what I was kind of looking here.
Looks like there's already a driver 0 day. There's a WinRAR 0 day, and modem. Yeah, there's a couple. There's a couple post Windows 10 support attacks already.
I'm seeing that if you have more than 10 computers, you're on your own, or you can only get 10 ESUs per Microsoft account. So if you have more than 10 computers, you have to associate it with the 11th micro or 11th computer has to be a different Microsoft account. So,
yeah. Oh, darn. That's obnoxious.
Yeah. Let's see. Instagram's rolling out new parental controls and limits for AI chatbots to address concerns about teen mental health, which I find... Now, let's see. What's the history of... What's the lineage of Instagram? Instagram wasn't originally a Meta product. It was a separate...
Yeah,
it came from a different...
was it a startup or was it
a different primordial ooze of development? The reason I'm feeling a little bit of a disconnect is that I don't know if you remember the whole thing. I heard an interview with somebody who was on the original think tank for Facebook, and the original mission statement of that think tank was that Facebook was being created to create jealousy between adolescent girls, and I'm not making that up. It's it was actually really truly the original mission statement for it. So if you're the kind of person that likes to vote with your feet, if you're just want to say no or don't want to support an entity that was originally spawned by trying to create jealousy between adolescent girls, which I mean, talk about one thing in our world that is like not in short supply. Jealousy between adolescent girls. So I find it kind of rich that Instagram is tooting their horn about teen safety. As long as you're not an adolescent girl prone to jealousy, they got your back, right? So let's see, the founder of Rivian, which I think those Rivians are pretty sharp looking vehicles, don't you, man?
I can't decide.
No?
I'm just old school, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you this, the Rivian pickup truck is like hands down better than
there's no competition there.
Yeah. I mean, when I first saw the Tesla Cybertruck, I thought that something had, is like one of those weird science fiction movies where some meteor strikes some development building, and all of a sudden a bunch of vehicles from Minecraft like got made real and released. Doesn't it look like something you'd find on Minecraft? I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking about, the vehicle itself is pixelated,
Right. Yeah. And if you try to tow with it, it rips the bumper off.
Oh, I did not know this. So,
yeah, you should go watch the videos for people trying to use it as a truck.
All right. Well, I will go and offer a tow to anybody who is broken down in their Rivian or in their Tesla truck.
There you go.
So, yeah. And, the founder of Rivian is betting that the new R2 electric SUV will make the company the next Tesla. So,
The one I've been keeping an eye on is Edison Motors out of Canada.
Okay,
but they're heavy duty trucks, so they have a little diesel generator and a big battery pack and these massive basically axles for logging trucks. They have these
They're talking about conversion kits. What does that mean?
Yeah, you can convert your pickup truck to a hybrid.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
all right. All I got to do is get a pickup truck now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Oh, those are, look at those things.
Yeah.
Man.
So they're like, that's the one I think hybrid trucks make a lot of sense to me because you don't need a lot of power all the time, but sometimes you need a lot of power.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and then they're doing like a full size pickup conversion at some point as well, but they're mainly, their test bed is this giant like logging truck.
Got it. Yeah. If any of you want to see some really cool trucks, go to edisonmotors.ca and they have a little pop up screen that comes up with these couple of really, dare I say, sexy looking trucks. So, but then I'm just a nerd, It's they don't look like any other truck I've ever seen before. But no, that's and let's see what else is going on in the blogosphere.
Did you see anything about the one that was the age verification for operating systems that was passed in California?
No, huh?
So,
what do you have to like get a baby copy of Windows if you're under 12 or something? Or
yeah, know? they didn't define a protocol. So, I'm really curious to see how it will be, you know, affect the you know, because you have Windows obviously and Apple. So it's like, you know, they're kind of walled gardens at this point, and then you have the entire Linux community, which is just you know a free for all.
Yeah, well, yeah, the wild wild west.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And so it's like, well, how are they going to affect the open source community with additional regulations? Like, oh, we have to verify, you know, that you're a 5 year old or a 15 year old.
Huh. Got it.
So
they're really looking out for 5 year olds that are using Linux.
Yes, really. That's my job.
Nice. All right. Well, you know what that music means, ladies and gentlemen. You have wasted another 25 minutes of your life listening to Geek Speak on KDNK.
Yep, and we'll be back.
We will be back beginning of next month, right?
I'm going to be out of town, so we'll have to.
Are you?
We'll make some arrangements.
What's the day? What's the date?
The 3rd or the 17th. So we'll be back.
Okay. Well, I'll try to do a show. I'll see if I can get Brendan in the house to do that one with me. So,
all right.
He's always got some nerdy, geeky stuff to talk about. So, anyway.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot for running the board, Matt.
And we'll be back next time.
All right.